And to listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI, New York. The views in the upcoming program are not necessarily the views of management or other producers at this free speech radio station. This is WBAI, New York.
That was Anna Popovich with an old classic from T-Bone Walker. She's done several versions of that song, The Hustle. And The Hustle is 1950 originally by T-Bone Walker. T-Bone Walker is a master who influenced many, many so-called rock and roll performers, including Chuck Berry. And that is a more recent interpretation by Anna Popovich, The Hustle. And it's also kind of like a good description of what's happening today. You know, history seems to repeat itself, and things were tough then, and things are tough now. In any case, this is La Voz Latina, and today's program will have three segments. But before we get into it, we do want to ask you to please, we beg you to continue collaborating with WBAI, especially with the Tower Fund campaign. The campaign for the Tower Fund is going good, thanks to your participation, support of WBAI. I'm going to read here parts of a statement from WBAI and management, and that is that for the fiscal year 2021, WBAI had a surplus for the first time in many years. It goes on to state that the tower rent is about $17,000 per month, whereas the other four sister stations pay a minimal amount. Instead of stressing ourselves every month trying to pay that bill, WBAI management has decided to launch a campaign during this time of giving, of raising $100,000, and that'll pay the bill up front for the coming year, that is for this year, 2022. Best of all, Pacifica National, says the statement, is collaborating with us, with WBAI, and the interim executive director is working with us in negotiating a contract or project, a new one. And it goes on to say here that the contract, by the way, with for the Tower Fund obligated WBAI to pay a 10% yearly increase, so that eventually the tower rent went from $45,000 per month in July 2012 to $65,000 by February 2018. And so, you know, things are going to be going up. It's inflation, right? So, but your donations, your help to WBAI, they're going good. And right now the fund is has some $56,000 collected from your generous donations. And you can go to the WBAI website, which is WBAI.org. But you could go to the fund website, which is towerfund.wbai.org. Towerfund.wbai.org. And that's for the four times square antenna, which we got to pay. Don't pay the antenna. Ain't no WBAI. There ain't no Daniel Vila. There ain't no La Voz Latina. Well, today's program will be split into three parts. We'll have later on a brief summary of the situation in Puerto Rico. where next week we hope to speak with the president of the Puerto Rican Federation of Teachers, Teachers Federation, Federación de Maestros de Puerto Rico, and that is Mercedes Martinez. We spoke with her today briefly. She's got a very, very, very sore throat. She did a lot of shouting yesterday, and during this whole week, there have been various rallies that she has been at, and she has almost lost her voice. But we will be interviewing her, speaking with her, for next week's program. Mercedes Martinez from the Teachers Federation of Puerto Rico. We're going to begin the program with a talk, a conversation with Michael Kane. He leads Teachers for Choice, New York Teachers for Choice, and there's going to be a very, very important demonstration taking place tomorrow, Monday. It'll be marching from Brooklyn over the Brooklyn Bridge to City Hall, and it'll be against the vaccine mandates, which have cost thousands of workers, New York workers, New York City workers, public workers, their jobs, and private sector also. I've even gotten dozens of calls from private sector workers over the last months, people who need some type of solidarity and want to have some direction in terms of what to do, because they don't want to be have chemicals that they don't know what is in those chemicals injected into their bodies. And spoken with many other public sector workers, with 32BA doormen, for example, also health workers, teachers, many, many workers. And so this demonstration tomorrow will have also the police and also the fire department. Firemen will be marching tomorrow at City Hall, and Michael Kane is going to give us a rundown on that. And also then we'll be speaking with Dr. Eric Feintuch about some interesting developments within the same struggle for justice for people who do not want to take the vaccine. And he's going to give us also some health tips. We'll then move on to a conversation with Sister Andrea Bauer. She is one of the part of the leadership of Freedom Socialist Party. Freedom Socialist Party is a Marxist organization. Feminist is their emphasis, and sexual rights. And so they will be, she will be speaking about the struggle in Cuba by many people who are not anti-revolutionaries, but people who went onto the street, and there's some 200 people in jail still in Cuba, some facing even 30 years of jail, because they went out and protested after the 8th Congress of the Communist Party last year in April, in which several measures were taken which hurt the pockets of millions of Cubans, and that's why they went out into the street. They were not out on the streets defending U.S. imperialism. They did not demand the overthrow of the Cuban Revolution. They were out there demanding that the severe measures that were taken after the 8th Congress of the party be taken back. In any case, we'll speak with Andrea Bauer about that. We're going to begin right now with Michael Kane of New York Teachers for Choice. Michael Kane from New York Teachers for Choice, welcome once more to La Voz Latina.
It's a pleasure to be back, Daniel. Thanks for having me.
Michael, we could go on with a 12-hour report. Unfortunately, we only have a few minutes for this very, very important update of what's happening with the legal struggle, and also what's happening on the streets in terms of the what's turning into a huge steamroller working class rebellion in this country and in other countries.
Yes, so Eric Adams, the current mayor, announced that February 11th, those who are on leave without pay, who have not taken the COVID shot, will be fired. So my brothers and sisters in the FDNY, with a group called Bravest for Choice, arranged a protest for tomorrow, Monday, February 7th at 11 a.m. We are meeting at 9 Metro Plaza. We're going to be rallying there and marching over the Brooklyn Bridge. It's being organized by Paul Schweit. That is the fireman who organized the historic October protest, marching over the Brooklyn Bridge, where there was, some say, 30, 40, 50,000 people over the bridge. So he's coming out there, and he's bringing Tramell Thompson. This is New York City's transit and labor leader, who is fully vaccinated. But in Albany, he took out his vaccine card and ripped it up in front of everybody and said, "I will not participate in this segregation." Tramell is going to be leading a group of firemen, as well as other city workers ripping up their vaccine passes, their segregation passes, on the streets of New York. It's going to be a historic time, and I encourage all of my vaccinated brothers and sisters, you come out tomorrow, come out Monday, bring your vaccine passport. You do not have to participate in this segregation. Rip it up along with us, because here's something people really don't realize. That vaccine card is the beginning of a digital identity system. That's actually, this isn't about vaccination. This is about getting us to a place where we have freedom papers, and then we have freedom passes, and we have freedom digital ID. And if you have to show an ID to prove that you're free, you are not free. So that's the first thing. We need people to come down there. We do have a legal update. Unfortunately, Kane versus de Blasio suing the city over their fraudulent religious exemption to vaccination process. That case lost in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals recently. However, tomorrow at the protest, we have a major legal announcement. This is far from over. There is another level to this. Our attorneys are working diligently on what the strategy is, and we'll be able to share that with everybody live on the streets of New York City tomorrow.
Michael Kane of New York Teachers for Choice, you know, this matter of tearing up the vaccine mandated card, reminds me of young people in the 1968, 69, 70, tearing up their draft cards. And I still, but you know what? I still remember people who were like 50 years of age, 40 people who are veterans even of World War One and World War Two of Korea, saying those traitors, those communists, they should be shot. And you know what? It reminds me very, when I hear sometimes people on the left, so-called left in this country, saying the same thing about people that are tearing up their vaccination card, it reminds me so much of those people back in the 1960s, Michael Caine, who were criticizing draft dodgers and people who did not want to kill other people in Vietnam.
That is really an amazing and very revealing comparison that you just made there. And, you know, when you talk about what's going on in the media, in the left, it makes me think of what's going on in Canada, up in Ottawa. We have an all-out working-class revolution, and where's the left reporting on this? I don't understand. I have a good contact up in Canada named Amanda Forbes. She is the president of Children's Health Defense Canada chapter. She told me last weekend, at its peak, there were 2.3 million people in Ottawa, according to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Now, 2.3 million people is 4% of the Canadian population. Did you know what militaries do to 4% of a country's population? They do nothing. That's what they do. And as a matter of fact, just a couple of days ago, the Ottawa government called on the military to come to Ottawa, and the military said, you take care of that. So we have a situation unlike anything I've ever seen. You know, Daniel, I think you know I've always been optimistic about us defeating these unconstitutional, immoral mandates. But I never saw Canada rising up like this and leading basically a worldwide peaceful revolution. And I certainly didn't see it happening in the very beginning of 2022. It is amazing. I'm almost giddy. It's phenomenal to see it. It's just really, really amazing times to be living in.
Well, you know, Michael Caine, again, like so many other popular working class uprisings, this is a mishmash of people in the middle, in the center. Most of the people are just average people who are sick and tired of all these mandates and dictatorial decisions, top down with absolutely no democratic consultation of the rank and file of the people, of the masses. But it reminds me again of what we have seen in many other countries. For example, when we saw this revolution in Cuba in 1959, it was the Communist Party. Communist Party in Cuba was, they were supporting Batista. They were not supporting Fidel Castro, and likewise, so many other in the anti-war movement in the 1960s. So many, I still remember, so many people on the traditional Communist Party and so on. They were patriotic and loyal. They didn't want to be seen with anti-war protesters with long hair and so on and so forth. So I think this generation is something is coming out of the heart and belly of this new generation and the so-called left. And I should say that I do know a lot of people that are socialists, that are Marxists, that are revolutionaries, that support these working class movements developing in this country and abroad. Unfortunately, many others who are key speakers are still a little bit left in a time warp. And I would suggest to those brothers and sisters to open up an ear. There's something new coming down pike.
I agree with you. I have allies that are socialist and Marxist that are completely against these insane mandates. I have allies that are Proud Boys that I disagree with most of what they believe in, but we agree that we are against these mandates. Hawk Newsom from Black Lives Matter, Reverend McCall associated with Black Lives Matter Greater New York. I'm just naming a couple of people. This is all across all political spectrums. This is something that they have come after all of us. And now this is the new piece that I think is where the success is going to be coming. The vaccinated are standing up against this because they realize what's going on. You know, one of the leaders of the Canadian convoy is a man named Benjamin Ditcher. He's been doing a lot of press. And he said for the first time about 2 weeks ago, when he crossed the Canadian-American border, he was forced to give his phone and scan the QR code to give him permission that, yes, you're vaccinated, you could cross the border. And it just clicked for him what this is really about. It's not about public health. Not at all. It's not about vaccines. It's about control. It's about control of the population, surveillance, control of your movements. And we're moving more and more to what China is doing. Right now in China, they have a social credit system that they track you through your phone, everything that you do. And if you're posting negative comments about the leadership in China, your social credit score goes down, right? So this is what we're staring at. It's far, far bigger than vaccination, and people are starting to wake up to that fact. So, you know, everyone could get the details for the protest at teachersforchoice.org, teachersforchoice.org. And I really encourage all of my vaccinated brothers and sisters to come out, because also the booster's coming, and then the booster to the booster is coming. And how long are you going to accept that you must engage in whatever medical procedure they tell you, no matter how new it is, no matter how untested it is? How long are you going to be okay with this tyranny, with this authoritarianism? We need everybody to come out to be successful.
Again, Michael Caine, the march is going to be tomorrow, Monday, at what time and what place and towards what objective or point?
So it's at 11 a.m., 9 Metro Plaza in Brooklyn is where we're meeting. We rally there. We march over the Brooklyn Bridge to City Hall. And this is mostly in support of city workers who are facing being fired on February 11th for declining COVID vaccination. But it is against the entirety of the mandates. It's against vaccine passports to have a slice of pizza. It's against all of the mandates, and it's definitely in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Canada that are in all-out peaceful revolution, just doing amazing stuff with their trucker convoy. And I can mark my words, the convoy's coming to the U.S. Mark my words. I'm in some very interesting conversations with some of the most intelligent organizers in the country right now. That is coming.
Warm embrace. Thank you so much, Michael Caine, and we shall see you tomorrow, Monday. Take care. Catch you.
See you in the streets. Bye.
Thank you, Michael Caine. And now let's move right along and listen to the talk of the conversation we had with Dr. Eric Feintuch, chiropractor.
Eric Feintuch, welcome once again to La Voz Latina. How are you doing, my brother?
All right, thank God. Doing well, doing well.
Okay, Eric, we mentioned that you are a chiropractor. You say a little bit more about your practice and also the specialties that you have. And there may be people, I think there may be people out there that may be interested in what you provide.
Well, okay, so as a doctor of chiropractic, we spend as much time as a medical doctor learning about the way the body works, and we also deal with nutrition, and we talk about, you know, things that aren't necessarily something that's always seen. We do blood work, we do labs to find out when people aren't getting better, people that are suffering with long-haul COVID symptoms, we have some solutions for that. A lot of it's about deficits. Your body's not working well, we help you with that. We try to figure out what's not functioning well and try to restore those pathways. And once they're restored, you come back to a good state of health. If you've been sick for a long time, it takes a while. But if you've been sick for a short period of time, sometimes we're able to reverse things. It's just a matter of whether we can pick up why your body is not functioning right. So we start with the 300 questionnaire. We send it via telephone, via your cell phone. And when you answer those questions, then we call you back. We set up an appointment to follow up. We do telemedicine. We have people all over the country that call us up. And if you're out of the state of New York, we have to do it a little differently. We teach you how to take care of yourself and ask your questions to your own doctor locally. So we're just more as an advisor, as an outside advisor. But if you're in New York, we can do labs and everything else to help people get better.
Yeah, that's very, very important what you say in terms of questions to ask a doctor, because I personally have, you know many people over the last few years who go to the doctor, and sometimes they're like automatic, like on robots, like they would listen, hear what the doctor says, and just apply it without asking any questions. I have a couple of very, very good friends in Puerto Rico that do not do that. They actually always ask the doctor, what is this? What do I have? Where? How? How do you know? Where's the proof? Where's the evidence? And I think that what you say is very important also, that patients should be able to ask intelligent questions to doctors so that they know better what it is that they are ailing them.
Actually, I create applications also that's going to be widely used in the next year or so that you should expect. They're actually designed to, if someone says you need surgery, it tells you what questions you're supposed to ask the doctor. So it's called it's a preoperative application. So we do, you know, look, you first have to know, if you're not feeling well and you're not getting better, you need to look somewhere else. And I think calling us at 1-800-GET-WELL, that's 1-800-GET-WELL, would be a great first place to start. We'll send you the questionnaire, and then we'll have a little consult with you and see if you want us to help you. And we do set up an amazing opportunity where your body's not feeling well, and with the right, you know, kind of nutrients, we kickstart your body back into feeling great again. And most of our people feel younger again, feel better, more vitality, and, you know, they're able to have a better life. And you know what? When you're sick for a long time and you lose your health, it's pretty much there's nothing else to do in life. I mean, you know, they say health is wealth. I really believe that that's true.
Very good, very good. Yeah, that's very important. And I hope, what is your contact information? And I say this because, again, I have, for example, one very good friend, and she a couple of years ago, she had an operation. And then 3 months after the operation, she goes back to her country and they examine her and they tell her, good Lord, that operation was totally unnecessary. But it's too late. You know, she already had that operation.
Why it's important you ask the right questions before you have that operation.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm creating that application for that. But yeah, if they want to call us, it's 1-800-GET-WELL. That's 1-800-438-9355. 1-800-GET-WELL. Just write that name down and call it, and we'll send you that link to answer the questions.
And Dr. Feintouch, we have had you here on La Voz Latina various times, in part because your medical knowledge, but also because you're a doctor who's out there on the streets and also defending people's rights. And there's a lot of powerful demonstrations going on throughout the country. There will be a very powerful one tomorrow on Monday. We talked about that a little while ago with Michael Caine, and you've been in contact also with truckers who are beginning to get organized also regarding these vaccine mandates.
Yes, these mandates are really, most of them are not like anti-vaxxers. I hate that term. I think it's a derogatory, slanderous term. I think they're just pro-choice. If you have a good vaccine and you want to take it, that by all means, you should take it. But if you should not have to force someone else to take it so you can be better, I mean, that doesn't make any sense in any stretch of the imagination. But we're finding out that people are getting injured from these vaccines. We were in Congress on Monday, and I'd like to read a letter of the kind of conditions that was reported to the Department of Defense. In 1 year, in 2021, since the vaccine was released, there's been a 2,100% increase for hypertension in the military. There's been a 1,000% increase in diseases of the nervous system. I mean, that's an unbelievable amount.
And wait a minute, who has given those numbers in Congress?
This is actually a letter which we should put up on your website if people want to download it. And it's to the Secretary Austin, the Department of Defense. And it was basically from experts who have come out. Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, has got the information from Department of Defense and from three whistleblowers, which they have named. These are not invisible people. These are people that are basically putting their careers on the line, three different doctors at the Department of Defense. So I want to share that with you. And there's an incredible amount of people with ovarian dysfunction and female infertility was increased 472%. I mean, I was to believe it. These are the data coming out of the Department of Defense. And we just got this letter up to Ottawa so that if the police officers want to understand why they don't want this mandate, this is the data from the U.S. government. And this is this what this letter says is for the Department of Defense to not allow any information to be destroyed that actually corroborates this, which basically is, you know, said this information is there in the Department of Defense database. And people are having incredible increases, even in cancers, of up to 600% increase. Now, I don't even want to believe that this is true, because when you watch the news, you don't think it's possible. But I want this letter to get out there. So if you can put it up somewhere, Daniel, I think it would be a great thing for people to see. This is a letter written February 1st, 2022. It was written to Secretary Austin, Department of Defense. And this letter just went out to the truckers in Canada so they can give it to all the police enforcement, law enforcement agents, to let them know why they're there. They're not there as anti-vaxxers. They're there for truth. They're there for choice. And if this is really even partially true, and this is a very interesting system that the Department of Health has, Department of Defense, because they have a very captured system. It's not like a lot of the systems in the United States that don't report that accurately. They have a very good system in the Department of Defense, and these numbers are not acceptable. No one should be getting sick from a vaccine, and this really should stop. This shows that this is a failed vaccine, and there's no way people should get sicker. And I want you this letter to be part of the public record. I'll make sure you have it, Daniel, if people want to download it off your website. Right. But they need to get this.
Excellent, excellent. And thank you so much for clarifying what an insult that term is, anti-vaxxer. You know, it's sort of like telling a woman who believes in abortion and who needs an abortion for whatever reason that she's anti-baby. You know, I've known women who have had abortions who have already had three or four babies, or in some cases they could not, at a certain time of their life could not have children, but then later on decided it was the right woman. And so just because a woman has an abortion does not mean that she is anti-life or anti-baby. It is exactly the same thing with people that are right now against these vaccine mandates. People are not against vaccines. What people are protesting is telling me that we must be vaccinated, otherwise we will not be able to travel, to eat over here, to do this and the other. And actually,
to keep their job,
even
to be able to make a livelihood. And,
yes.
And we know the vaccines are not preventing transmission, and they're really, it looks like the data is suggesting that it doesn't even prevent death the way they're suggesting. There's a lot of manipulation at the head of the CDC. And we believe that the FDA is not doing its job, and they need to be doing a better job. So we want more transparency in government. We're asking our representatives to speak during a congressional setting and have hearings about the FDA and the CDC. This is malfeasance at the highest levels. It appears that they're not doing their job protecting the American public.
Okay, Dr. Feintouch, I don't know if you want to just give us a little hint. I know that you have been in contact with certain truckers. You want to say something just general about that?
Yes, yes. The truckers in Ottawa are doing a great job of bringing attention to it. But as I will give you, that as we speak right now, truckers are already in England headed to London, and there will be thousands of trucks miles and miles long protesting just like they are in Canada. I just heard from one of them. We just did a 45-minute interview, and it's going to go all over the world now to make sure they know that they are there for peace, they're there for awareness, they're there also against mandates. And they don't want this tyranny, this oppressive tyranny, where people, this is just a symptom, they want no vaccine passports, they don't want vaccines to be mandated, they don't want to have their lives controlled. And every elected official, you are being put on notice in England as well as Canada. If you are forcing these experimental vaccines on people, we are going to vote you out. You are going to be out of office next year.
And, you know, the American, as I do not get tired of saying over and over again on La Voz Latina, on WBAI, where we have been for some 20 years, the American corporate press is doing its job very well, that is keeping Americans uninformed. You know, these demonstrations of truckers and other people, mass demonstrations against forceful vaccinations and these shutting down of the economies and of restaurants and even establishing curfews, have been going on massively in Bolivia, for example, where indigenous people and leftist forces gathered and forced the government of Movimiento al Socialismo, Luis Arce, to backtrack and eliminate all the restrictions and forced vaccinations. Likewise, there are thousands of truckers that are protesting in Argentina on the border with Chile, and I could go on and on. But, you know, there's so much going on around the world, unfortunately, and the corporate media in this country just censors stuff. So we urge people to look for what's going on in other countries.
Right, go on the internet. Get informed, because the old media of regular channels,
yes,
channels 4 or 6, I call the alphabet channels, they all have to basically disappear because they're not doing their job. It used to be that it was an honor to be a journalist, but they have failed at the highest levels to not be able to do their jobs as journalists and get to the bottom of this and get to the bottom of why they're actually part of the problem and they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and shame on them.
Well, you know, Dr. Feinsteich, you're not probably my age, you're a little bit younger, but you probably heard about the programs that were on TV on Channel 5, Channel 9, on the alphabet channels, like you say, in the 1960s and 70s. You would have people from the Black Panther Party, from the Young Lords, from Students for a Democratic Society, revolutionary communists, and sometimes you would even have racists like the Ku Klux Klan and other elements and fascist Nazis on these same programs, and they would allow debates of the leftists and liberals and right wingers, and it was free speech. Today, you don't have any of that. You don't have either, people even dialoguing, having dialogues regarding these issues. What you have is propaganda from big corporate media, and we have to defend WBAI, in fact, and we have to defend stations that defend freedom of speech.
Amen. And we appreciate that I get a chance to tell everyone that go look on the internet, keep on searching for the truth, and look for my new show on Roku called The Truth Hurts. That will be coming next week, actually, starting. So I'll give you more news next time we get on, but I will be starting our own Roku channel called The Truth Hurts.
Fantastic. And as we finish this interview, what is the contact information, Dr. Feinsteich?
Yes, if anyone wants to call, no politics, please. Only people have health problems. It's 1-800-GET-WELL. 1-800-438-9355. If you do want politics, you can call, you can actually email me at Inalienable Rights Alliance, inalienablerightsalliance@gmail.com. That's INALIENABLE, rights, RIGHTS, alliance, ALLIANCE, @gmail.com. When it comes to politics and you want more information about how to protect your job or how to do religious exemptions, that would be where you would send information there. We'd do our best to try to give you good advice.
Thank you, Dr. Eric Feinsteich. Warm embrace.
God bless you. Stay well. Keep up. Keep warm.
Thank you, Eric Feinsteich. And before we move on to our conversation with Andrea Bauer from Freedom Socialist Party regarding the situation in Cuba, we do want to give a brief update on Puerto Rico. If you do not know it, this past week, and especially on Friday, thousands, I don't know if it was 15 or 20,000 people, but there were a lot of people marching from the legislature in old San Juan, or what is called Puerta de Tierra in San Juan, and they marched to the governor's mansion, La Fortaleza, in old San Juan. And these people, these mostly were teachers who were frankly furious of the fact that their retirement pension has been reduced to one-third of what they had previously. And these are all the fine ideas of what is called the Junta, that is the Fiscal Control Board, which Democratic President Obama signed into law and pushed and imposed on the people of Puerto Rico, another U.S. Imperialist imposition since 1898. That's what they have been doing with Puerto Rico. And, of course, taking out tens of billions of dollars each year. In any case, thousands and thousands of teachers and many other thousands of supporters of the teachers marched on Friday. And we briefly spoke with Mercedes Martinez. This weekend, we were going to interview Mercedes for La Voz Latina. Unfortunately, Mercedes Martinez has a very serious hoarse throat. She can barely speak in a whisper. But I was like that about a week ago, and I got a bit better. In any case, we do plan to interview Mercedes Martinez, who is the president of the Teachers Federation in Puerto Rico, of the Teachers Union, the Teachers Federation. She is president of that union. Mercedes Martinez will be interviewed on La Voz Latina next week, for next Sunday at midnight. So please be in tune. Check out that interview. The class struggle in Puerto Rico has been heightened recently. Not only were teachers out this week, but there were also thousands of people protesting the privatization of the electric company, what was the public electric company, in the hands of LUMA. So there are many struggles going on in Puerto Rico, and so next week we will be speaking with Mercedes Martinez. But right now, let's move on to our talk with Andrea Bauer. She is of the Freedom Socialist Party.
So we do have on the line with us Andrea Bauer, who is a writer for the Freedom Socialist Party newspaper. And Andrea, I believe you're also part of the national leadership, organizational leadership, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm assistant national organizer for the party, for the Freedom Socialist Party in the United States. So those are my two hats, so to speak.
Okay. So, obviously, last year the world saw peaceful demonstrations taking place throughout Cuba, mostly in the Havana, in the capital area. And we'd like to have your take. What is your take, Andrea? And obviously, when you speak, you're also speaking on behalf of the Freedom Socialist Party. So what would be the organizational take on those demonstrations taking place in Cuba last year, Andrea?
Yeah. Well, we are definitely supporters of the Cuban Revolution. And we would really like to see socialism achieved in Cuba. But we think that some socialists who have been uncritical of the ruling Cuban governmental bureaucracy are very mistaken in thinking that any kind of protest or desire for change in Cuba is counter-revolutionary. We think that's very wrong and very mistaken. And so many of the people who went out into the streets on July 11th were young, poor, from the poorest neighborhoods. Many of them were Afro-Cubans, Black Cubans. And what they were asking for was attention to their issues from the government. They were facing things like a shortage of COVID treatment, electrical blackouts, wide-ranging electrical blackouts, things caused by an economic crisis, and that so many countries are suffering right now. But the government's answer of repression was the wrong answer. if things are going to improve in Cuba, and we want things to improve in Cuba, it's going to have to be through more workers' democracy, not a crackdown on people who are suffering and protesting over survival issues. And we know it's true that the United States would love to see the Cuban Revolution fail completely, and that, you know, it will do what it can to, you know, to roil things up in Cuba against, in an anti-communist way. But the majority of people, we have friends in Cuba, good socialist friends in Cuba, and they tell us that the majority of people who protested are just ordinary Cubans, especially young Cubans, who need something different from their government.
Andrea, what would you say to people, and this is one of the criticisms that I've heard of your against your organization, and also towards me, because I have also, although I support 150% the Cuban Revolution, I have also been critical of the way that these protests have been handled. And I'll say this out front, just for anybody who's listening who wants to know how I feel about these things, because I feel that after all of these years, the revolution, after all, was in 1959, that people have a right to protest in any country in the world, any country in the world. Right now we see this uprising, I call it the Ottawa Commune, taking place in Canada. And and we've seen endless protests here in the United States that do not get beaten down and hundreds of people arrested. However, those people that say that you are helping American imperialism by supporting the demonstrations, what do you have to say to them?
Well, I would just go back to saying that, you know, if you want to save the revolution, you can't do it through repression. It has the opposite effect. It will drive people who are not already anti-communist, it will drive them into the arms of the right wing. What you need is, I mean, people have to be responsible for their own society, and socialism, above all, should make that possible. People need to be involved in decision-making. The Cuban Communist Party needs to listen to people, what they need, their solutions. I think, you know, it's showing that it's afraid of the people, and you can't have a worker state or a socialist state that's afraid of its own people. You're right, people anywhere have the right to protest, and what's happening in Cuba is not isolated. As you mentioned, it's, you know, it's happening all over the world. You know, in the United States, people are protesting against police violence, for reproductive rights, you know, for voting rights, for so many things. And it's happening all over the world because people are suffering, and they're seeing gains that they made in the past go away. And I think it's the action of working class and oppressed people that can bring good changes. That's what can bring good changes.
Andrea, have you pointed or been able to follow any of the specific causes that promoted these, that made people go out into the streets? Because a lot of people do not realize that actually during April of 2021, the Communist Party of Cuba was holding its 8th Congress. And lo and behold, the demonstrations took place shortly after the 8th Congress. Have you been following what the decisions were, or what was it that was happening in Cuba that provoked people to take part in these demos?
Certainly to an extent. I think that there have been incremental economic changes that have hurt people, that have widened inequality, and especially have had a bad effect on Black Cubans and women. Things are cropping up again, like prostitution and homelessness that were practically eliminated in the past because of the emphasis on tourism. And specifically, and I think this was part of what followed from that conference, there have been changes to the currency that mean there's a kind of a two-tier currency system, and a lot of Cubans can only shop in stores that take one kind of currency that have no goods on the shelves. They stand in line, and they can't get the things that they need to eat and to live. So I think the changes over time, including stemming from that April conference, that have been happening in the economy, are really hurting people and are a major source of frustration and a major trigger for the protests.
Well, you know, Andrea, I have to laugh because, you know, I've been consider myself a revolutionary and a supporter of the Cuban Revolution since 1968. So I've taken part in hundreds here and in Puerto Rico, and not only here in Puerto Rico, in other countries that I've gone to in support of the Cuban Revolution and other revolutions in the Philippines. And I've been also in the Philippines in support of the struggle there, and I have been in Mexico also, and I have been in Venezuela. But Mickey Mouse, I call them Mickey Mouse socialists, that I cannot even express an iota of difference because I'm a traitor. But I will remind these people, for example, that I speak with Cubans all the time. I wonder how many of these people on the Mickey Mouse left actually speak. I speak with Cubans who are actually younger than me, and they don't really feel that anti-communism, but this is what they have told me. Something like 30 or 35% of what they sent their relatives or, you know, wives or whatever, or children in Cuba, it remains with the government or with taxes, you know. So if they send $100, only $65 maybe may reach the person, because the rest, it remains up in the bureaucracy. And that's one of the things that people complain about, the fact that, you know, they try to help people over there, but it's cut. The aid is cut.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, inflation, we think it's bad in the United States. In Cuba, it is just completely out of control. And it's especially high in what you might call the black market or the informal economy, which is where a lot of people get most of their goods. And it's really it's a mistake to criminalize people who are protesting for survival needs, and it's a mistake to uncritically support a government that is repressing people on that basis. It just doesn't move anything forward. It's just not helpful in any way. And I think, you know, I think it is especially, you're talking about Mickey Mouse socialists, I think it's really important that revolutionary socialists who do support the Cuban Revolution speak out to defend these political prisoners who are not counter-revolutionaries, but are trying to get the Cuban ruling bureaucracy to pay attention to their life and death concerns. And, you know, some socialists have taken that principled course, and the Freedom Socialist Party belongs to an international regroupment effort called the Committee for Revolutionary International Regroupment, which put out a statement, you know, supporting the political prisoners on the basis of their needs as workers and poor people. And I think that this kind of principled criticism, I mean, if you're doing something really wrong, you want your friends to tell you about it. You don't, you know, it's criticism among comrades is good. And it's...
Yeah, I can just imagine a husband and wife saying, no, we cannot have differences of opinion, otherwise we're going to have to get a divorce. You know, it's practically that's the point that it's reached. It's absurd, yeah.
Right. So... you know, these arrests and detentions are still going on. And I think international attention is really, really important. I mean, just this past Monday, 14 people were arrested in Havana for protesting the trials of the people who went into the streets on July 11th. And they've been released since then, but the very next day, another young protester was arrested outside his university, Abel Esque, and again is released. But this is just continuing, and some of the people who have been arrested and charged are getting sentences of like 30 years. And a lot of the charges are very vague, and they're the kind of charges that are very, very subject to misuse by governments, like public disorder, contempt for authority. You know, these should not be crimes.
Well, I was speaking with a couple of people who have been to Cuba, going back, Cubans and non-Cubans who have been going over there, who are very supportive of the revolution. But they also tell me, for example, that people were protesting because of these mandates. For example, people had to wear, all of a sudden, they were forced to wear a mask. Unlike New York City, where if you don't wear a mask, you're not going to be fined, right? But over there, if you did not wear a mask, you would get an $80 fine. And this is absurd, because $80 for me, it's a lot of money, but for Cubans, $80 is a lot of money. I understand, including that there was one fellow who committed suicide because he could not pay the fine, and he was facing jail time, and he committed suicide because he was unable to pay that $80 fine. And I understand that one of the reasons was precisely that, and also these economic shutdowns. We see what's going on in Ottawa, Canada, where people are viciously, and we've had protests here in New York City against these economic shutdowns, where people were also protesting because the government had clamped down. They were even making it impossible for, there was a curfew, whereas if people were on the street at a certain hour, they would be arrested for just walking down the street. And those are the things that the media, the left media, unfortunately, did not communicate. And that's why people were protesting also.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of reason for protest. The way the trials are being handled is another shameful thing. They're essentially being held in secret. They're not public, the trials. They're not reported on in the official press, which is the only press that most people get. Often the families of those who are imprisoned aren't even told when the trials are happening.
Right.
The courthouses where the trials take place are cordoned off by the cops and the military. So it's very, it's so unlike what you want from a worker state or a socialist state. I mean, it's replicating some of the worst things that, you know, we experience in capitalist countries, which is very, very unfortunate, and it needs to be called out. And I think people need to start thinking about what are the solutions. And I think in Cuba, that means there has to be a national pro-socialist resistance, which is going to be hard to organizing because the organizing mostly can't be done openly. But another reason that that kind of organizing will be difficult is that the Cuban Communist Party has seemed like there are only two alternatives. Either you support the ruling bureaucracy or you're against the revolution, which is not true. So I think what we can do is just to keep spreading the word about what's happening, and watch for ways that we can intervene and help. But ultimately, of course, it's up to the Cuban people themselves.
Well, for people who are not familiar, you talk about capitalist repression in capitalist countries, who are not familiar with the history of the Freedom Socialist Party. And I am not a member of the Freedom Socialist Party, I should point out. But I have known over the many years, as I said, I have been active since 1968. And I've seen your organization, and have seen your organization and been with members of your organization in demonstrations demanding the freedom of Oscar Lopez Rivera, of the nationalist political Puerto Rican prisoners, of the macheteros and others who were nationalists, Rafael Cancel Miranda, for example. I've seen also, in fact, I was invited and I went with Stephen Duran from your organization and other members to Mexico a few years ago, because your organization was protesting the jail, the fact that Nestor Salgado, who was a leader of the people in rank and file struggle, she was jailed. And she had been in jail for 2 years. And as a result, in fact, of the initiative taken by your organization, Freedom Socialist Party, and I went down and I accompanied your organization, Nestora was released from jail about a month and a half or 2 months after our visit down there. So your organization is not just, you know, people who are unfortunately are not familiar too well with the left believe that you are just criticizing Cuba, but no, you have been active against political repression by the U.S., especially for many, many decades. And as we close this interview, Andrea Bauer from Freedom Socialist Party, from the newspaper, we want to thank you so much and want to see if you have any final words here on the Voz Latina.
Thank you very much, Daniel.
Okay, Andrea, warm embrace, and thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Okay, so this is Daniel Vila. This is La Voz Latina. Please check out that Tower Fund page. Please help WBAI, towerfund.wbai.org. That is to pay the antenna at 4 Times Square. Warm embrace, and we'll catch
you're
you.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI New York at 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. The views expressed in the previous program are not necessarily the views of management or other producers on this free speech radio station. This is WBAI New York.
Hi, this is Julian Joiello, and I'm a listener and supporter of WBAI. I'm a student at NYU, and I live in New York City. And I want to shout out to the other young listeners of WBAI. We have to help keep the station going, and the easiest way to do it is through the WBAI Buddy System. If you donate as little as $10 a month, you have proactively promoted free speech radio. Go to the website WBAI.org, click the donate button, and make a difference.
Do you consider yourself to be a militant?
Absolutely. If you're not willing to commit war crimes for the people you love, do you truly love them?
No question in the United States that more people die at the hands of white supremacists and far-right militants than any other group, even though we don't know the full scope of it.
Listen to Sounds Like Hate from the Southern Poverty Law Center, Mondays, 10 a.m., right here on listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
Hello, WBAI listeners. I'm Polina Vasiliev, co-executive producer of Pacifica Radio's COVID, Race, and Democracy. Tune in for the program Mondays at 4 p.m. on WBAI as we explore solutions to the many crises we're facing. The crisis of the global pandemic, racist police violence and U.S. militarism, and the crisis of democracy. That's COVID, Race, and Democracy, Mondays at 4 p.m. on WBAI New York. Don't miss it. And please support WBAI with a generous donation. The website is give2wbai.org. Now more than ever, we need free and independent media. So if you have already donated to WBAI, we thank you.
Hi, I'm Heidi Boghossian of Law & Disorder. Every Monday morning at 9 a.m., we talk about ongoing threats to civil liberties and human rights. That's every Monday morning at 9 a.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
This Valentine's Day, you can show love to your mom, your lover, or yourself while supporting WBAI. If you call 212-209-2950 to order flowers, your New York City recipient will receive an arrangement of premium, long-stemmed Ecuadorian Explorer red roses, accented with fragrant eucalyptus and housed in a glass vase. and a portion of your order supports WBAI. To order our Valentine's Day Floral Premium, call 212-209-2950 by the 7th for your true love and for WBAI.
Extinction Diaries. More and more mountain gorilla babies are becoming orphans, yet the approximately 1,000 individuals on Earth are seeing a slight increase in numbers. Tragically, more and more men and women are dying trying to save them. Virunga National Park in the Democratic Republic of Congo is Africa's oldest and largest preserve and where most of the last mountain gorillas and other endangered wildlife like elephants live. In a single year, 20 park rangers, men and women, have been murdered and others, including the man in charge of the 800 ranger force, have been seriously wounded. The heart and soul of the Virunga anti-poaching rangers may be one of the strongest human-animal bonds on Earth. Not long ago, Virunga photos of gorillas posing affectionately with rangers went viral on the internet, and news about the incredible sacrifices to save them are reaching the world.